The following program was paid for by Cardinal Financial Company Limited Partnership and by Kalinka Team Consultants, LLC. The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the staff and management of WMTR, and also not necessarily the views of Keller Williams Metropolitan or KWRI. As always, it is advisable to consult a professional before making a major decision. Time now for Let's Save Thousands. Here's your host, Dr. Edmund Kalinka.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Let's Save Thousands. I'm your host, Ed Kalinka.
And I'm Bev Kalinka. Good morning, everyone.
We have Mike LaRusso with us. This is for the audience of Let's Save Thousands. We welcome you. Mike is a certified public accountant in Pompton Plains, New Jersey. He's licensed in both New Jersey and New York and has been a CPA for over 40 years. And he provides personal and business tax planning and preparation with his own firm for over the past 20 years. And currently you're a tax manager over in Caldwell in New Jersey, correct?
That's correct. Thanks for having me, Bev.
And we are excited to have you here. I mean, not everybody loves taxes, but everybody has to deal with taxes.
It's painful for a lot of people, especially when there's surprises. I can't tell you how many clients come to me in, you know, early in the year to prepare their taxes, expecting refunds, and then they end up either getting less of a refund or end up owing. And my job is to explain the reasons why. They may not be happy, of course. Tell them I don't write the law. That's what happens if you don't do proper planning ahead of time, especially when it comes to home ownership, as we talked about. So again, the planning is important for existing homeowners as well. If you're planning on doing something with borrowing some additional mortgage money, there are certain limits, and we'll get into that later. And that's important to know. So the best advice in general I can give everyone is speak to your accountant or tax advisor before you do a lot of things, but purchasing a home, refinancing the home, and all the things that are related to it.
Yeah, get the good orderly direction from your tax professional. That makes sense. So, Mike, this show is all about helping our listeners and our clients to be able to save money. I mean, that's the premise of our radio show. So we try and offer each week some avenues of learning. We like to educate them. And here, this is such an important matter and such an important subject. And most of us just, you know, we're not the professionals. We rely on people like you to be able to give us that direction. So I want to start off with first-time homebuyer. What are some of the tax benefits?
Sure, first-time homebuyer. Young couple, just married, maybe one or both moving from their parents' home, or they've been renting for years, and they're taking the major step for home ownership. So there's several deductions related to owning a home. Let's first go with the real estate taxes. They are deductible to certain limits, and that limit on the real estate tax deduction is combined with any other state and local income taxes you might pay. When you total all those items together, they're limited to $10,000 first before you add them to potentially itemize your deductions, and we'll get into the... So itemized deductions, a lot of people are not familiar, especially if they've never filed a tax return other than having a standard deduction, which everyone gets. There's different amounts. If you're single, it's $12,950, and married filing a joint return, it's $25,900. Everyone gets that. Now, if you now take the step to own a home, you have the real estate taxes I mentioned, and that bucket, if you will, of property taxes, state and local income taxes, could be withheld on your W-2 form if you have a job, or if you make estimated tax payments if you're self-employed. So that limit is $10,000, and then it would be included at that point with your itemized deductions. Mortgage interest, that's probably the biggest one we should talk about.
Certainly in the first 5 years of ownership.
Yes.
I mean, 90% plus of what you're paying monthly is all. My percentage is probably off, but a substantial amount of your payment each month is your interest on your mortgage.
That's correct. Yes.
And you're saying that's deductible, correct?
Yes, within certain limits. Now, in the past, and probably dating myself a little, but There were no limits on mortgage interest deductions.
Yes.
If you had a mortgage on your home and used it to buy or improve your home or refinance existing debt that was used to purchase or improve the home, you deducted the entire amount of interest. In recent years, the law has changed where that deductibility of interest is limited to a mortgage amount of $750,000. For most people,
they fall under that $750,000.
Yes.
Okay.
Everything up to that $750,000 mortgage amount, the interest on that amount is fully deductible, and that's on your primary residence.
Mm-hmm.
A dollar limit, as well as what you took that mortgage out for. As I mentioned before, if you use the mortgage to purchase or improve your home, fully deductible up to those limits. If you take a home equity loan or refinance a mortgage and take some money out to pay off some bills,
right.
For example,
right.
Technically that interest is not deductible. And I've seen clients that have come to me where in the past they or their accountant not knowingly disregarded that those limits, took the deduction, and then ultimately they're subject to an audit. The IRS will ask to see the flow of the mortgage money, how, where it went, what it was used for, and it potentially could be limited.
So you could be paying some of that deduction back if you were on.
Yes. The basic parameters for the real estate tax and mortgage interest as it relates to home ownership. If the state and local income tax deduction, which includes property taxes, and you're limited to $10,000, you'd still need $15,000 or so more in interest expense to make it worth itemizing deductions.
This is the SALT tax that came
yes.
out, what, maybe 3 years ago, 4 years?
Yep, that's the $10,000 limit on that, if you will, of itemized deductions.
Right.
I'm glad you mentioned that point because in the area we live, high tax states like New Jersey, New York, California, right. for example, residents of those states have been hurt significantly because of this limit. So what's an aside to this, what some of the states have done, New York, New Jersey, California, for example, if you have a business, small business that's taxed as an S corporation, perhaps a partnership, these states have created a workaround to this limit by allowing state income tax to be paid on the business income. And then those payments are credited to the shareholders in an S corporation example or partners in a partnership. So there is a way around it. And that's important to know for people that might be buying, like I said, in our area where we have real estate taxes, high income taxes.
But if it's an LLC, that doesn't really apply, correct? Because then you're not looking at a partnership. So does it apply
correct.
To an LLC?
It would have to be an entity, as we described, just as you said, a partnership or a corporation. Now, it's important to note, and people don't realize this, a limited liability company or an LLC
right.
is a legal entity. And that was established by most states, if not all, several years ago. And it created an entity so that people can have a little ease of tax reporting or just operation. The LLC entity, once it's formed, if it's a one owner LLC, it has an option of reporting their taxes as a self-employed person. A Schedule C, if people are familiar with that. The other option is to be taxed as a corporation, even if you're a single member. So the LLC is a legal entity, and then you would tell the IRS, this is how I want that entity to be taxed.
Okay.
For people in New Jersey who probably are most of our listeners, if not all, the acronym that you might hear is called BATE. It's called Business Alternative Income Tax. So that's something that almost all of my clients, especially high income taxpayers, take advantage of.
So that's BAIT, BATE.
Correct.
Okay. So that's saving our listeners some serious money.
Oh, absolutely.
I have a question. Are the contributions, your charitable contributions, limited? Is there a threshold there?
60% of your income.
Okay.
It's rare that I have clients that exceed that. But what's important to note is potential home buyers speak to their accountant. Do some projections that in certain parameters, if I spend a certain amount of money on a house, what will that mean to my taxes?
Right.
That may enable them to get a little more valuable house or property than they otherwise would have been able to do because of the tax savings.
And when I talk about some of the benefits of owning a home and they start stressing about their monthly payment, I normally suggest, you can claim, instead of claiming zero, you claim two on your taxes, so you net a little bit more monthly, because you're going to be having the advantage of some of your property taxes and your mortgage amount, your mortgage interest, excuse me, deductible. Does that make sense, or is that something?
Exactly. Yes, Bev, you're exactly right. Now, again, important because everyone's in different tax brackets.
Sure.
There's no cookie cutter, if you will, amount.
Mike, Ed had asked me to reach out to you. He said, what are some of the perils a homeowner faces when taking out a home equity loan or a cash out refi? Now, you touched on that, but
yes, really there's only one danger zone there. And again, it's what do you do with that money? If you have an existing mortgage and you refinance like many people did in the last several years until now, certainly, yeah, to get rates under 3% made a lot of sense financially. As long as that money was used to pay off an existing mortgage that was originally used to buy or improve your home, it's still deductible. The cash out, as you mentioned, again, if that cash is taken out on a new mortgage, but used for something other than the home, technically not deductible.
Okay.
And then staying with the subject of the tax form, you will receive it's called a 1098 form from, like I said, the mortgage company or the bank. Mm-hmm. Another component that may be on there is mortgage insurance premiums, which are deductible as well.
Are they? I thought they
go into the bucket with. I mean, there are certain parameters there. They, okay. But it goes into, again, the same, again, bucket, if you will, of mortgage interest. Has to meet the parameters that we mentioned before. What the mortgage was used for.
So when we're talking about mortgage insurance, we're talking about PMI. We're talking about private mortgage insurance. Anybody that's purchasing a property that is not putting 20% down, PMI is typically required.
A very important point, and I think it's what your thought was as far as the non-deductibility of that. Mm-hmm. It starts to phase out over $100,000 in income. Yeah, if you're single or file a joint return, if your income is over $100,000, now that's mortgage insurance premium is not deductible.
Okay. So the next question I have are, what are some of the nuances for real estate tax credits?
Well, there's some credits. One thing that we talked about earlier, solar panels, credits out there. If you want to install solar panels on the roof of your home,
right?
There are credits available for that. And in many cases, it's financially beneficial, where many companies will pay the cost of the installation. And essentially, you sell back to those companies the excess electricity that you don't use.
Yeah.
But, and as just a cautionary, there's a lot of scammers out there that promise you the world. I've seen it many times. In fact, we just had a client the other day who was trying to refinance their home and found out that the solar panel company had a lien on their property. They wanted to refinance, and so the attorneys had to get the solar panel company to now go behind the second bank, the new bank. And a lot of complications there, and to the point where a client was ready to have them take the panels off the roof.
Well, that could be expensive too, because it's normally like a 20-year lease buyout, if you will.
Yes,
we've dealt with it a lot in selling homes that have solar panels, and everybody thinks, oh no, it doesn't. It's not going to cost the buyer anything. Well, it is.
It does.
It's a 20-year lease, and right. Normally there's a restructure to the buyer. But that's an interesting credit. Any other credits that you?
I do want to shift to related to that, to New Jersey. Now, New Jersey has several deductions for things that some people might not know. And I'll stay with the real estate tax for a moment. New Jersey allows you to deduct 18% of your rent payments. So New Jersey felt many years ago that it wasn't fair that homeowners were getting a deduction because they were able to deduct the real estate taxes. However, renters were not. So there is a deduction in New Jersey for 18% of your rent payments.
Oh.
And property tax is also a deduction in Jersey in full up to $15,000. So that's going
great.
We'll return to Let's Save Thousands in just a moment.
Hi, I'm Dr. Ed Kalinka, broker associate with Keller Williams Metropolitan. The Kalinka team brings you a unique level of expertise, which includes 30-plus years as licensed New Jersey brokers, municipal land use, mortgage, and insurance experience. All this we put to use in representing our clients. Contact us for a free buyer's and seller's guide. For more information, visit us at our website at kalinkateam.com, K-A-L-I-N-K-A-T-E-A-M.com. I invite you to join us Saturday mornings at 11 a.m. at WMTR 1250. For my weekly radio show, Let's Save Thousands. Here's what one of our past clients had to say. I've bought and sold several homes and dealt with dozens of realtors over the years. Unequivocally, Ed Kalinka has been the most exceptional. The guy is tireless and at the top of his profession. If you, like me, believe experience matters, put my experience to work for you and let's save thousands. Find me online at kalinkateam.com.
Did you, Bev, did you want to touch on the transfer of properties from the state?
Yeah. So I wanted to ask you what we have run into the past 18 months. We have helped some sellers handle estates. So, you know, family, the parents have passed, family inherits the property, you know, becomes the estate of. And there's often some difference between, let's say, the wife died 15 years ago and the husband just passed. So a lot of times they want what the value of the property was 15 years ago when it was jointly owned. And then at the end, you know, when the father passes, or the husband passes away 15 years later, is there a difference? Is there... I mean, a lot of times we have to do that for the estate. And I guess I just wanted to understand what are some of the tax implications that come into play when family inherits a house and they put it on the market for sale. What are the tax implications that they have to deal with that could possibly be out there on the estate? Does that make sense?
Let's go back to your example before. For the one spouse passed away and it's 10 years ago. Essentially, the surviving spouse gets half of that house, if you will, at the value when they passed away. So it's their original cost basis is the tax people use. It's the surviving spouse's original cost plus improvements over the years. Mm-hmm. Have to be major improvements. Can't be, repaired some electrical work. It has to be major improvements.
Okay.
So they will have their original cost, if you will, when they bought the house. And, you know, many times it's very low because they've been in the house 30, 40 years.
Sure.
So they'll get that original cost, albeit they will get a step up in tax basis for the deceased spouse. They're half of the house. That certainly will increase that. And that'll help if the surviving spouse sells the house.
Okay.
Now, there are exclusions for selling your primary home, single, married, filing joint returns. If you have a profit gain, if you will, on the sale of your principal residence in excess, below $500,000, you don't pay tax at all on it.
That's a capital gains reference.
That's correct. Okay. It would be a capital gains rate. Anything over in excess of $500,000 gain, and again, that's the gain, not the sale price. So, sale price less what you paid for it, in simple terms. So that's an example, the example you laid out, and that's how that works. The next situation you described is now the second spouse, if you will, passes away, mm-hmm. and the estate owns the property.
Mm-hmm.
That property now gets a step up in basis, as they call it, or a cost basis of the fair market value on the day they passed away. Once that's established, and it may or may not have be on a estate tax return, and I'll address that in a minute. Whether you file a return or not, essentially the beneficiaries are getting that house at the value when the last person passed away.
Okay.
So again, in your example, a son, daughter, and there's different, for New Jersey purposes, different classes of beneficiaries, very specific, and we don't necessarily have to get into that, but just in general. So the beneficiaries now get the house as an inheritance.
Mm-hmm.
Inheritance is never taxed to the recipient or the beneficiary.
Okay, good to know.
So someone gets a house in the will states that the house passes to someone. They get the house. It's now valued for tax purposes at the value of when the person passed away.
Mm-hmm. The last person passed away. Right.
Right. So now that individual now owns the house.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if they choose to sell it, whether it's immediately or shortly thereafter, potentially there is a gain on the sale if it increases in value from the date of death that we talked about.
Okay.
And that will be at a capital gains rate. Again, depending on the time frame, and usually it's long term, which is in excess of a year, because by the time estates settle and everything shakes out, if you will, it's typically not less than a year by the time everything happens. So that is important to know. As far as estate tax, and that potentially is important because if you have an estate that only has, for example, a house that's valued at $500,000 and $50,000 in cash, you're well under the federal estate tax exclusion amount, which is just over $12 million. Not too many people are in that range, so we'll talk
well
about
under.
Yes, we'll talk about New Jersey, and that's important. New Jersey, up till a few years ago, had two components of tax, death taxes, if you will. One is the estate tax, was a tax on the value of the estate. That's been phased out in 2018, and New Jersey is only left with an inheritance tax. And what that is the value beneficiary receiving money from an estate. However, it's important to note there's different classes, as I mentioned before, of beneficiaries. Class A beneficiaries, which are surviving spouses, parents, children, grandchildren, et cetera, are entirely exempt from this tax in New Jersey.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
So there's no issues. There's no issues there. Brothers, sisters, son-in-law, daughter-in-law are called Class C beneficiaries, and there could be some tax there. And I'll just give you a couple of the first few parameters. The first $25,000 that they receive is exempt. And again, the tax is not to the beneficiary, it's the estate. First $25,000 is exempt. The next $1 million and a little over $1 million is taxed 11%. And then it's graduated up to $1.7 million, and anything over that is taxed at 16%. So there may be some New Jersey tax in certain situations. It's not as severe as what the federal tax would be. But again, because we have such a large exemption at the federal level, there's not much to worry about there.
So the suggestion would be on those that are addressing an estate situation, they should most certainly get in touch with their financial advisor. Find
yes.
out some of the implications that could come into play when selling the property or, you know, or dealing with any kind of investments that the estate may have.
Yeah. We just described a situation where someone passed away and is an estate.
Right.
What I do see a lot of people make mistakes on is gifting a house prior to someone passing away.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, when you give a gift, the recipient does not get that increase in tax basis or cost as you would if you inherited it. You will get that gift now in your hands is what the person's tax basis was before they gave it to you.
Okay.
And in many cases, where you have an older family and that's getting older and you have young, the next generation, you want to pass on some assets, that's important to consider as well.
Mm. So to wrap up, Mike, give us like three big takeaways if you're a listener that really makes sense for saving money. The first is going to be, you know, if you're buying a home, make sure that you get with your accountant, your professional advisor, so that you know what the write-offs are going to be when you purchase the home and moving forward, what's going to be, what's tax deductible for you, correct?
Absolutely. And I do that quite often, tax projections, essentially taking their last year's tax return and putting in what we expect the mortgage interest to be, the real estate taxes, and see what that effect is on their taxes. If it's significantly less. Again, it may change their the property they're looking for. Maybe they can get something a little better.
Yeah.
Or if they're frugal and they want to say, okay, I'm paying rent now, and you know, I want to do better.
Estates we talked about, you gave some great advice on that. I think that's an eye opener with regards to, you know, the type of beneficiaries who, where can come into play with the people receiving it or the estate.